Halford Bruff, Sportsnet 650. Friendly reminder that Halford and Bruff in the Morning is brought to you by Able Auctions. Business assets to sell? If so, email sales at ableauctions.ca.
Craig and Campbell River text in, have you guys been watching Connor Bedard at all? Maybe we should keep Jim around and we may have a shot at Bedard in a few years. This kid looks incredible, yeah. North Van kid playing for the Regina Pats, just 15 years old. Mm-hmm. 26 points in 14 games.
The first special exemption player in WHL history, if I'm not mistaken.
He's 15, yeah. And he is almost 2 points per game.
It's pretty impressive.
North Van kid.
And he was playing in the Swedish Hockey League prior, before the WHL got underway, and was tearing it up over there as well. The numbers are off the charts for a kid that young. It is quite impressive. Now, Jason would not be watching Connor Bedard highlights, especially last night, because he was busy doing research on the youths.
The youths.
Well, see, we've got a thing here at the Halford and Bruff Show where we know that we're now on the wrong side of 40.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, we don't want to be those guys, like those guys that just rely on Simpsons clips and referencing things from the 90s. Like, we want to try and stay, at the very least, relevant so that we know what's going on, right?
Okay, yeah.
So, Jason, we got on a group text last night, and it was me, Bruff, and Dom. And Bruff asked, he's like, do you guys ever watch Corpse? I just finished watching Corpse. What the hell is this? Dom, as the resident youth, had no idea, right?
Yeah, this is not my genre.
Right.
Corpse. And I was like, what is that?
Mm-hmm.
You know what happened? I saw Jimmy Fallon
trending
on Twitter. Mm-hmm. So I'm like, I don't know, maybe there's a scandal there.
Right.
Involving Jimmy Fallon.
Yeah, right.
So I was like, Jimmy Fallon, and then something to do with Corpse.
Right. That's a person.
And I was like, what is Corpse?
Mm-hmm.
Should we give a little teaser of the kind of music this band provides?
It's an individual.
Is it even, it's, I don't even think it's, I think it's a YouTube.
Yeah. There's music. He's got a very deep
person.
Voice.
Artist.
So I don't know what his or
Corpse
her
husband.
Name is.
Corpse Husband.
Is that first and last name? Corpse Husband?
It's probably a real name. Do you have the music at the ready?
Yeah, I mean, I found a song that's clean, so we can play it on the radio.
Let's do it.
But it's very morbid.
Adequate's always what's driving me. Not a role model, that's not what I strive to be. Can't go outside, I'm afraid they'd be finding me. They're annoyed by my privacy, yeah.
Okay, we're good.
Okay.
So in addition to the music,
his
artistry. He's also a very popular Among Us player. So then I had to explain to you what Among Us was.
What is Among Us? I saw Corpse Among Us in the kind of Google autocorrects.
Yep.
And I'm like, is that one of his songs?
It's a goddamn video game. A video game.
It's a video game.
Yeah. It got really popular during the pandemic.
Oh, okay.
So I had the research for this one.
Anyone out there listening have any idea?
Anyone with kids does, because I asked my kid right away. He's 9. And I said, hey, do you play Among Us? And he's like, yeah.
Yeah, it's very popular.
How do you know what Among Us is?
was he just like, oh, God, am I in trouble?
And then I was like, no, just explain it to me because I'm going to have to talk about it on the radio tomorrow.
Well, you don't have to.
Right, I didn't have to. But I was like, I think I'm going to. So the game, it just basically works. There's an imposter among the group of players. And, you know, I guess there's a sense of the players uniting with one another to try and find who the imposter is as opposed to, like, going in and just killing everybody. So that's why the game kind of took off during the pandemic, is because people were sitting around and they had a ton of time on their hands, and it gave them like a sense of.
And Corpse just happens to be.
He's
good
really
at
yeah
it.
Yeah. Also Minecraft apparently.
How does he have all the time? He's making
this
music.
Is what
he's
he does for
video
a living.
Games.
He's a social media star. Like they have time.
I'll tell you a quick little story here. I know we wanted to get to L.A. Freeman, but
we're talking about Corpse.
When 1040 got shut down, there was a week. A little more than a week that Mike and I were like, oh, what are we going to do?
Right.
And we thought about, you know, starting our own podcast, and we're like, all right, we're probably going to need a YouTube element of that.
Right.
So I Googled a bunch about YouTube stars. Not that I was thinking maybe we could turn into YouTube stars or something. Maybe we could open toys all day or I don't know, whatever. And I was like, all right, who are the biggest YouTube stars? And I can't even remember the names of these people, but... You know, I would go to these YouTube channels that were super popular, like millions and millions of followers. And as soon as they start their videos, You know, it's like hundreds of thousands of views, and people are just waiting on their every word. And I'm like, this is garbage.
The content
it's all garbage.
Just
like some of
desired.
These people, they just start. There's no structure,
right,
to what they're doing. They're just like, hey.
What's
up,
guys? Don't forget to bang that subscribe button.
Can I just say, this is giving me mad.
How do you do, fellow kids?
Vibes right now.
Well, we try.
You
right?
do. I'll give you that. You
now,
do try.
I'll say this. Remember when we were trying to break in more youthful lingo into our show?
Yeah.
You
and we
mean
ended
like...
up with deadass?
Sus is from Among Us. Sus is from Among Us. That's what it is. If someone is acting sus, that's why. They're maybe the imposter.
Deadass. Someone texted in, corpse husband is absolutely cold on Among Us. I don't know what that means.
Yeah. Can you describe all those words except absolutely? What they mean. I've seen all of them before, never in a sentence like that before.
You know what I was actually quite disappointed with? I have to admit, Dom, and I know it feels like I'm picking on you because I am.
No, it's fine. Go ahead.
But you're in your 20s.
I'm about to turn 30.
You're in your 20s.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
And... you added no value to the conversation last night. Like, right. You basically said, why don't you go to bed?
And yeah, and then you sent a gif of, how do you do, fellow kids?
Right, which in its own way is kind of an old guy thing to do.
Maybe.
Right?
Maybe, but when...
I was hoping, I'll be honest with you, I was hoping that you'd be a little more in tune with the young people so that we could make a legitimate... reach.
Okay, so
to have more young people listening to our show.
I'm a millennial. There's like two generations now after me that are now the youths of the world. I'm not exactly in tune with, you know,
but course. You should be more in tune than us.
Yeah, I want you to
That's
be.
Fair. I knew what Among Us was.
We're gonna give you a new title. It's gonna be the youth correspondent.
Oh,
you're just
great.
Gonna go around in the morning and call random people and be like, "Hey, kids, what's up today?
Random Gen
Z. What are the youth doing today? You can hang out at elementary schools if you need to. I don't recommend it.
Before we move on, I need to know when you found out. That it was from Among Us. Did you think that was like a spin-off of the TV series This Is Us? Like, were you like, did you think? Okay.
I barely know what This Is Us is.
Okay.
It's a very popular television program.
I know people cry when they watch it.
You should have seen him when he found out who Ninja was.
Oh, boy. That would have been something.
Yeah. When Bruff got wind of how much money Ninja makes, he's like, and he just plays Fortnite? I was like, yeah.
Well, the kid that opens presents.
Yeah. He's got it good.
There is no way that he isn't getting a divorce from his parents.
Right.
What do they call that again?
Emancipation.
Yeah. He's getting emancipated from his parents
for
at some point.
He's already getting underway. The process is already underway.
All right. Let's get into 31 thoughts.
Yeah, let's do that.
That Elliot published yesterday. There were some Canucks notes in it. I think you, most of you will know most of it from the Canucks side. Elliot doesn't know when they're going to play next.
Yeah.
And he also said that the Canucks have begun the process in signing Quinn Hughes and Elias Pettersson, whatever you want.
Pettersson,
to contract extensions. It sounds to me like any chance of a long-term contract is gone. These will be bridge deals, three-year deals, which should make the negotiations a little bit easier.
Mm-hmm.
But I still feel like they're going to dominate the offseason.
Yeah, they're the two biggest.
They've just begun the process.
They're hugely profound deals, right? I mean, there's no getting around it. Those are your cornerstone players. And they've come around at a time where, unfortunately, you're going through a pandemic and the financial crisis is real for both sides, right? There's not going to be a lot of wiggle room. Now, I suppose... something could do a total 180 where they are able to make hay on a long-term deal, but it just doesn't seem like that's feasible right now. Like, it just seems like that's the way it's going to have to go.
I don't think it's feasible to buy any unrestricted free agent years for Pettersson or Hughes.
Right. I mean, they did
unless
with Demko, but the finances were different.
I really do wonder how difficult this is going to be. Are we going to get into training camp and one or none of these guys are signed? Because... it's such a tough environment. When we were just talking with Chris Johnston about signing a UFA like Tanner Pearson, where the market hasn't really been established because we haven't been in the market long enough. And teams are really using the flat cap as leverage in negotiations. They're saying, Tanner, you know, you have to get real here. Mm-hmm. There's a pandemic on. The salary cap isn't going up. I know that this was your time and you're probably thinking years ago, I'm really going to cash in my first UFA deal, but you're not going to anymore. This right. isn't going to happen.
Right.
And the Pearson camp is probably like, yeah, we understand that, but I think you're being too aggressive in how much you want us to give back because of this situation. You're probably just using this. And then it's and Siege used the term, or maybe you did. It's a big game of chicken right now. And the deadline really for the Canucks is Monday in some ways for Tanner Pearson, because what they don't want to do is have no deal come together for Tanner Pearson on an extension, and then they don't trade him, and then he walks away anyway.
Mm-hmm.
Because then you don't get anything for him. You don't get him as a player, and you don't get the measly draft pick that you're probably going to get
right
at the trade deadline. So that's the situation they don't want to be in. Now, a lot of people will say, actually, you know what? It wouldn't be so bad if the Canucks don't get anything for a trade deadline and then he walks away in free agency, because I think his contract is going to turn into an anchor. So that's actually like right. not the worst thing that could happen. The worst thing that could happen is the Canucks sign Tanner Pearson to another contract and you add it to the pile of negative value contracts that they already have.
Mm-hmm. Did you see the notes in 31 Thoughts about Kevin Adams listening to not just pitches for Taylor Hall in Buffalo, but also Jack Eichel? There was a small note in there from Friedge saying that Adams is 100% the guy to watch as we head into Monday's NHL trade deadline. He's the juggler. That was Friedge's line, not mine. And, you know, I understand that Hall's going to be traded. I mean, he's been held out of the lineup. He didn't play last night. The Sabres won, by the way. Good for them. But we're looking at this now and we're saying, at what point do you go from acknowledging that the Taylor Hall experiment didn't work and you're going to move on and it's okay because it was a one-year thing anyway. But this Jack Eichel thing keeps coming up and it keeps surfacing. And, you know, we've had the conversation before on this program and we can have it again, but really it comes down to, at what point do you reach the precipice where you say all the losing and the negativity, it's too toxic. Like the situation's broken. Because mm-hmm. it goes one or two, when there's a breaking point, it goes one of two ways. It's like, okay, this is the breaking point where we go uphill. We're on the grow. We're a city on the grow. Like it's gotten as bad as it can get, but it's going to be so much sweeter for Jack Eichel in Buffalo because he went through all these hard times. Mm-hmm. And there's also that point where you say that and you're like, this is not a city on the grow. This is a team that is fundamentally broken. And Eichel's not only experienced more losing than any guy probably should in his first 5 years in the NHL, but he's seen other teammates escape Buffalo
mm-hmm.
like a low max prison. Like they just get out and they're happier.
It's
a free.
Low max prison. Do you mean minimum security?
It's where you go for like financial crimes.
Yeah.
Well, that's so not a low max. That's a minimum security prison then.
That's what he means though.
Okay.
Yeah, I think everyone got that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Isn't Lomax a Dr. Seuss character or something like
that's
that?
It's the Lorax.
Oh, the Lorax. Okay.
Once again, ingraining yourselves to the youths. But isn't Dr. Seuss canceled anyway? Are we even allowed to reference the Lorax?
Oh, yeah.
You never know these days.
You never know.
Who knows? It's better just to call.
Why aren't Halford and Bruff on anymore? Oh, they mentioned Dr. Seuss. Yeah.
I believe you're thinking of former NFL QB Neil Lomax.
Oh, yes. Okay.
Yeah, that's right.
Who was also a Dr. Seuss character.
That's right. He's also been canceled. He doesn't play football anymore. Okay. The Buffalo situation, we'll see it play out over the next few days. Dom's just shaking his head back there. This is what you signed up for. This is the show.
It's great.
Mm-hmm. You came back. We went to break the other day, and Dom was like, that was really weird. You guys just went off on a tangent and then totally forgot what you were talking about.
That's correct.
And your point being what?
I think another interesting team and to watch at the deadline, and Elliot mentioned this in his 31 Thoughts, is the Florida Panthers for two reasons. Number one, the Panthers are finally putting it together.
Mm-hmm.
They're in the race for the President's Trophy.
Oh,
they're not
great. Even after the Ekblad injury, they still played really well.
That's the second thing.
Yeah.
The Ekblad injury. Do they try and chase someone and try and replace Ekblad the best they can? Because if they do, that's going to be really expensive.
Mm-hmm.
Or do they sit there and go, yeah, this team is finally putting it together. The core is still young. We can do this for a few more years. There's no reason to come out of our boots just for this season because we're playing well.
I know I've brought this up before, but the Pittsburgh Penguins, when they lost Chris Letang and they went and they got Trevor Daley and Ron Hainsey, handsome Ron Hainsey, played a big part in getting them to the Stanley Cup final and winning it. They didn't.
Halford mentions this because he had a conversation on the ice with Jim Rutherford after the Penguins won the cup.
He gave me a Werther's, celebratory Werther's original.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. He was happy. He won a Stanley Cup. No, I'm not talking
Because Rutherford also won a Stanley Cup with an unimpressive blue line in Carolina. If you look at the blue lines that have won the Stanley Cup in the last, I don't know, 30 years or whatever, that Carolina won in, what was it, 2006?
Yes.
They had some good players on it, but there was no real stud. Like Pavel Kabina? Was he on that team?
Brett Hedekin.
Yeah. Good players. Yeah. Was Kabina on that? I don't know.
I don't think so.
Whatever.
I think you're talking about Frantisek Kaberle, the brother of Thomas Kaberle.
Okay.
I believe he scored the game-winning goal in that. Stanley Cup final.
So that
more
blue line and then
but I'm not talking
the Pittsburgh
about
blue line without Letang.
But you think I'm talking about that because I'm like excited that I talked to Jim Rutherford. I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about when you're dealt a blow as significant as Letang, what do you do? Because he acknowledged in that awesome chat I had with him on the ice that, that he said, like,
I'm a real reporter.
Hello.
Jim, could I spare a moment?
Yeah.
First of all, congratulations on the Stanley Cup.
I was like, sorry, my microphone's not working. And he's like, is that a television remote? I was like, yes. Now, what he did was, he's like, we're not going to replace Letang. You're not going to find a guy that's going to play 25 minutes a night. And even if you do, you're going to have to come out of your boots to get him. So they just got guys, right? No one was blown away by handsome Ron Hainsey and Trevor Daley, but they did the job. They got it done. Now, that's where I think Florida's going to end up going with this, is you're not going to see some big splashy deal. I think you might see a deal where maybe a guy that you didn't think was going to become available becomes available for a song. You know, I mean, I keep thinking about Edler as being like a pretty decent fit there because I don't think they'd have to come out of their boots to get him. The problem is I don't think Edler's going to come out of his boots to move. Right? Like, I think he's set. So
yeah. Jeff Pat is going to join us at what time? Coming up next?
7:40.
7:40.
We have another short seg here.
Okay. So we'll have some time to go into the Dunbar Lumber text line, 650-650. The smart alternative, visit Dunbar Lumber on Bridge Street in Ladner or Arbutus in Vancouver online at dunbarlumber.com.
Mm-hmm. I will remind you before we go to break that this show, the Halford and Bruff Show, which you're currently listening to in a variety of ways, I don't know how you're listening to it, but I'm glad that you are. Halford and Bruff in the Morning is brought to you by Able Auctions. If you're closing your business and you're not sure what all your assets are worth, let Able Auctions help. They've been helping BC business owners wind down and sell their business assets in an orderly manner for over 30 years. Whether a complete manufacturing plant, a restaurant, or a mechanical shop, Able Auctions has seen it and done it all. Email sales at ableauctions.ca and get your free of charge confidential consultation scheduled today. That's sales at ableauctions.ca.
And if you're just joining us, 7:22 on a Wednesday, our poll question today, should the Canucks, see, you didn't need to there.
I like propping you up there.
I just said the time. 7:22 in the morning.
Good one.
Poll question today, should the Canucks even be trying to re-sign Tanner Pearson to a multi-year deal?
You're doing great.
87% of you are saying no.
Still
what are you scared of, people? Oh, right. The bad contracts.
Right. I know exactly what you're scared of. Yeah.
That one. If you want to text in any comments about that, if you disagree with the 87%, text 650-650. It is the Halford and Bruff Show on Sportsnet 650.
/7:27 on a Wednesday. Halford Bruff, TSN 1040. Friendly reminder that the Halford and Bruff Show on Sportsnet 650 in the morning is brought to you by Able Auctions. Business assets to sell if you have them. Email sales at ableauctions.ca. Jeff Pat's going to be coming up at 7:40. So let's dive into the, well, we haven't really done a Dom's Dimes, Shramatty's Snippets. We're still workshopping the name of the clip segment. We might not do it at all, but we've got a couple here. It is Masters Week.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, if you've listened to the Halford and Bruff show for any period of time, you know, Jason is a golf enthusiast. I'm lukewarm on it.
I believe it's pronounced enthusiast. Anyway.
Yes. And I do get, you know, a little bit more zoned in, honed in, if you will, when the Masters are, or sorry, when the Majors are on and the Masters is on, obviously, this weekend. Play begins tomorrow. We're going to get a golf guest for Friday. Now, there was the lead up to the Masters, as always, there's a lot of media involved, right? Everyone's doing the rounds and there's all these different pomp and circumstance events. There's the Champions Dinner and there's the, they do the par three tournament, right?
Mm-hmm. I don't know if they're doing the par three tournament.
Right, they did.
Year.
They did the putt, pitch, and chip challenge on the weekend, I think, with the
kids.
Yeah, they did all that stuff. So one of the things is the guys do the media rounds quite thoroughly, and they're asked about not necessarily just the tournament, but all the stuff that's going on in and around the world of golf. And of course, the big story is that Tiger Woods won't be at Augusta this year because of his car accident. Mm-hmm. And well, Justin Thomas, tell me what's going on here.
Well, Justin Thomas is pretty good buddies with Tiger Woods, and he was saying that, you know, Tiger's in decent spirits. Rory McIlroy also went in. Visited Tiger and said, you know, but both of them were saying that Tiger's in better shape than they figured he might be. They saw the details of the car crash. They saw the video and they saw the pictures of the car and they're like, oh, you know, like all of us.
Right.
But he's, you know, he's not close to golfing or anything, but apparently he's getting up and getting around better than they thought he might. And I thought this was, you know, Justin Thomas seems like a good guy. And this was nice of him when he said this.
Playing the practice rounds with him for sure. I went over and saw him a couple times last week, and I've tried to just go over a couple times during the week whenever I'm home and see him. And yeah, he texted Freddie and I this morning saying, I think it's kind of starting to set in. He's bummed he's not here playing practice rounds with us, and we hate it too. I mean, I'm very, very lucky that I somehow got thrown into that practice round group with Tiger and Freddie the last 4 years or whatever it is. And especially around this place, I mean, I just follow them around like puppy dogs. I mean, wherever they go, that's where I go after it. And if they hit chips from somewhere, I go hit chips from there. And it's no coincidence they've been so successful here. But they're also just great guys to be around. So definitely miss that part, but hopefully going to play with Freddie tomorrow. He didn't feel like getting up in the early cold weather this morning, so I made sure to give him some grief. I don't know if he would have bailed on me if Tiger was with me, but he did on me, so hopefully I'll get to hang with him tomorrow.
So the key part of that clip wasn't actually in the clip, but he said he'd go do McDonald's runs for Tiger if he needed it.
Mm-hmm.
That's a friend.
That's what you were supposed to get, the part where he said he would go to McDonald's for Tiger. He told Tiger, he was like, if you want me to go to McDonald's, I'll go to McDonald's for you.
I'm on a hell of a streak.
And one thing you need to know about Jason, you guys have just started working together, big McDonald's fan. But then the self-loathing afterwards, it's a love-hate relationship. But there'll be times where he'll, after the show, be like, I'm going to get a Big Mac.
Feels like a Big Mac.
Feels like a Big Mac.
While I didn't get the exact clip you wanted, I feel like the crux, the message, the overall thesis of what Justin Thomas was trying to portray was... did come across
wrong.
No,
wrong.
We needed the McDonald's reference.
Wrong.
And then I
love that. That's what came to mind. He was saying, "Look, listen, Matt, I'll do anything for you if you need me to go. Yeah. For example, to McDonald's." And he's probably like, "I'll probably pick up something too."
Yeah, we could have had lots of funny conversations about it. What would Tiger order from McDonald's?
Having it right now. Would Tiger order from McDonald's?
It feels forced now.
Yeah.
You're
anyway, fish. So what can you do? By you.
What can you do at McDonald's on a keto lifestyle?
Everything, just without the bun.
Can you order McDonald's without the bun?
Yeah.
What, do they just throw the patty at you?
They put it on this. Just
do you
put
get
it
like
on
a
this
lettuce?
Like, plastic
what?
Tray.
Do you
eat the plastic tray?
No, you don't eat the plastic. That's not keto.
No, plastic is definitely not keto.
So what do you eat it with a knife and fork then?
No, so they give it to you like as a lettuce wrap.
Yeah.
So they'll either wrap it in the burger wrapping or they'll just stick it on like a plastic tray.
Do you think all the workers are like, you know, this job is...
I don't think
it's hard
care.
Enough this without way. This guy. Like, I don't want a bun.
Not at all. I'm taking one step out of their work. If anything, they should be thanking me.
I went to it. While...
Are you ever going to stop this keto thing? Because you look great.
Well, thank you. You don't need to compliment me. That's fine.
I saw you, you know, just a few years ago. Compliment. I saw you a few years ago, and I was like, Dom could use some keto.
Yeah,
but
no, I was.
You don't.
Fat.
Yeah, really? You don't. Remember. And how much weight have you lost on this all bacon diet that you're on?
It's not wrong.
Yeah,
70 pounds.
70 pounds.
That's crazy.
Yeah.
I don't remember you being.
How did this turn into the keto talk?
I didn't. Well, we were talking about McDonald's. Yeah. I didn't.
You screwed up the clip. Remember?
I don't remember you being like of the larger variety, like the big and tall.
Oh yeah, he was. You were maybe a bit bigger at the time, so you didn't recognize it.
Wow. Shots?
No, I was big. My weight goes. It's crazy. Have you seen the picture of us on the log? I tell people, I'm like, that. I know that's only like 3 or 4 years ago, but I in no way resemble that person anymore. I yo-yo all the time.
Stewie from Richmond texts in, I used to work at McDonald's a long time ago. When people would order a hamburger without the bun, I always thought they were ordering it for their dog.
Yeah.
Because they forgot to pick up dog food. People actually eat those. Wow. Yeah.
I had
kind of like a dog. You just throw the burger on the ground and you're like, oh.
Look at his hang dog expression. during my layoff, where I didn't do anything productive, one thing I did do was I went to a Triple O's and got a bacon cheeseburger, but with the lettuce wrap.
That's elite.
It was good.
So good.
I don't know if I could do it all the time, but it was good. Like, I had no qualms about it. The best was the woman working there was like, you're trying to eat healthy. I'm like, no, I'm in a Triple O's ordering a bacon cheeseburger. I think you need to reevaluate what healthy means, man.
I think keto would be a lot more fun if you had a personal chef. Because keto, it's a hassle to snack.
Yeah.
Right? If you're not eating
it's
carbs.
It's not a hassle.
It is a hassle to snack.
Not.
Because what do you get? What do you eat?
Pepperoni and
avocado?
Cheese.
Do you eat a lot?
But how do you eat that like as every day? Don't you get tired of that?
Not at all.
Pepperoni and cheese.
Do you eat cured meats every day?
Awesome. Yes.
You're going to end up with gout, dude.
Yeah. You know what? I actually read that one of the things with the keto diet is that the risks are that you get gout.
I eat a lot of salad. That's the other thing people
you gotta
don't
eat
recognize.
Salad, yeah.
It's like I eat copious amounts of greens.
Another thing that happened during my time off is I badly sprained my toe, but I didn't know what happened at first. And I remember for a brief moment thinking that I had gout, and then I was like, oh, man, this is I can't tell Bruff this.
Yeah, Halford's weight loss plan is me. Like, there's a picture of me just telling him you should lose some weight.
Yeah,
isn't that nice? We're good
like
friends.
One of those
I'm such a good friend.
Posters you see?
Yeah,
that's right. It's Bruff pointing at you
you're
angrily.
Like, you're gross to look at right now.
You're worthless. All right, Jeff Bat coming up next on the Halford and Bruff Show on Sportsnet 650. 8 o'clock hour. We're gonna do all what we learned. So get those in. Hashtag them. WWL. Dom is crying. And I can only imagine his tears are 90% nitrates.
Tears are still salty.
Yeah. Oh, I got a chunk of pepperoni in that
burger
one.
On the ground, and you're like, oh, look at it. Yeah.
Halford.
Like a dog.
Halford.
Like a gross dog.
Halford Bruff, Sportsnet 650. .740 on a Wednesday. Halford Bruff, Sportsnet 650. My God, that's Jeff Patterson's music. We're going to have to record this after this show. So what Jason does is he sings the chorus, but instead of Panama.
Well, hold on.
We got to let it breathe now. Can you bring it up a little bit? We're rocking out.
Oh, it's going to take a while. Why don't you do your read first?
Bring it down. Nothing better. Hey, golfers. Get great Vancouver golf for less. Go to discountgolfcard.ca for all the details and to order your Vancouver discount golf card today. It's not going to work. We'll just record it after the show.
It's coming. It's coming. Coming. Just keep going.
Flawless production here.
Yeah. Well, I don't know why this hasn't been. Hold on a second.
Here we go.
Me, mo, mo, mo. Mo, mo, mo.
Patterson.
Patterson.
And clear.
Patterson.
Well done.
How does that sound okay? The first one was a little rough.
I'll just clip that and we'll use that going forward.
No, he needs, like, when he does the recording, he goes like We Are the World style, like the closed eyes,
yeah,
one hand up to the ear, and then rocking back and forth. He needs like proper.
I head down to like the Little Mountain Studios with Bob Rock.
That's right.
Well, me, my,
do it again. Bob, wind it back. Let's go to the phone lines now. Joined as we are every week on this program. No, we don't have him. Weird. It's weird that you wouldn't have him on the line with all the nonsense we just pulled coming out of break. Jeff Patterson's going to join us momentarily here on the Halford and Brough Show on Sportsnet 650. And we alluded to this earlier. We should probably circle back on it a little bit. The Canucks-related guests, which we have virtually every day on this program, it's going to be tougher and tougher to, I mean, for lack of a better term, fill the void, right? Because there's no tangible, actual NHL hockey news emanating from the local squadron. The trade deadline stuff seems like it's stuck. And we don't have any updates on exactly what's going on, whether they've got the standard COVID-19 or the Brazil variant. There seems to be a lot of discussion and debate without any real sort of confirmation on that front as well. Nevertheless, let's try and make sense of this whole thing as we are joined now by Jeff Patterson here on the Halford and Brough Show on Sportsnet 650. Good morning, Jeffrey. How are you?
You're asking me to make sense of all this? That feels like pressure.
I know. I mean, it's difficult to look at this and try and do like the hardcore hockey minutiae and talk, which we've become accustomed to doing because we're a few days away from the trade deadline. Traditionally, this is when you're talking about the games and what's going to happen going into Monday, but the whole thing's been thrown upside down. I guess what we can do, Jeff, is circle back on our poll question today. We are asking, should the Canucks be trying to re-sign Tanner Pearson to a multi-year deal? This comes after a couple of reports, I believe Darren Dreger and Elliot Friedman both had it, that it sounds as though conversations are going in that direction. Curious to get your thoughts.
Yeah, I've been in this camp that I think they should move on from Tanner Pearson. And I think, first and foremost, the Canucks need to figure out what Tanner Pearson is. He had 21 goals last year. Six of them came into an empty net. He was tied for the league lead in empty net points with nine. But there's some value there. I mean, he was tasked in those late-game situations to get out there and not just protect leads, but extend them and put games away. And he did a nice job of that. The Canucks haven't had many late-game leads when they were playing. He hasn't been put in that situation. He has six goals this year in 33 games before he got hurt, which would put him on a 15-goal pace over 82 games. Now, 15 goals in the NHL is nothing to sneeze at, but those goals have come in a second-line role and with power play duty. And I just wonder, what is Tanner Pearson? Because if you're signing him now, is he going to be a top-six guy? Is this with an eye to improving the team around him so that he gets squeezed down the lineup? And if he's in a third-line role, what's the expectation on a player that is about to turn 29, isn't fleet of foot? The league is getting faster by the day. I do worry about his foot speed moving forward here. He's a guy who, when he's on his game, is using his size and getting in and grinding on the forecheck and those types of things. But six goals and only one in the last 14 games, like, there just hasn't been a lot of offensive production or much of a bottom line there. And I'm worried that this is the start of a decline. And if you're locking Tanner Pearson into any kind of long-term deal, you know, this whole talk of 2 years and the two-year window is because that's when they'll be out finally from under Beagle and Roussel and Louis Erickson and Sven Berchi, although Berchi's deal is up this year. But are you just replacing one of those contracts with Tanner Pearson, who, you know, into his 30s, may be slowing down, may not be terribly productive? And so I guess the Canucks need to figure out, what is he? And is there value to this hockey club in having Tanner Pearson a couple of years down the road when they finally look like they might be able to find their way into a competitive window?
Brough's mic just accidentally cut out there. The question was, is it just Brough? Or does Jim Benning not seem to care about signing players that are getting into their 30s?
Yeah, I mean, that's certainly been a concern here for a while now, and I think that's a fair question. And so, look, we've heard it so many times about, you know, the need to support and insulate the young guys and that veteran presence, and that's why they wanted Jay Beagle coming off his Stanley Cup win, and there have been other examples of that. Bo Horvat just turned 26. Hey, Bo Horvat is now a veteran in the National Hockey League. You want to surround guys in your room. Bo Horvat now falls into that category. Bo Horvat has seen just about everything that the NHL can throw at you. And he's not alone in that regard. But this notion that you need these guys in their mid-30s to insulate the young guys, those players in their 30s should be looking at Elias Pettersson. They should be looking at Quinn Hughes and taking their inspiration from those guys, not trying to protect them. So I do think that Jim Benning has a little bit of an old school mentality in that regard, that you need these veterans to insulate your young players. I'm not saying completely get rid of guys that are in their 30s, although the Colorado Avalanche did that a couple of years ago when they came off that dreadful 48-point season. One of the moves they did was basically to jettison all veterans. They turned the locker room over to their young core, and I think you're seeing now that their belief in that young core has paid off, and they clearly are one of the best teams in the National Hockey League. I'm not saying it's that simple, because obviously they had a first overall pick in Nathan MacKinnon. They had Gabriel Landeskog. I mean, I don't have to go through their roster. They've got terrific and talented players. But I do think that there was something to that methodology of saying, no, like, we're just going to go with these young guys. We'll live with their mistakes. But you know what? Young guys become veterans in time. And so you're always going to have guys that qualified, like JT Miller is very much a veteran. He's been through the battles as well. So I do think that there is a danger in locking up too many guys just because you feel your young players need this security blanket. Young players are better than ever. They're more confident than ever. They're more game ready than ever when they get into the NHL. Look at Hughes, look at Pettersson, look at Nils Höglander. Like, these guys are ready. They've been playing high level hockey all their lives. And we're seeing guys now on a yearly basis hit the ground running in the National Hockey League. So I think there really is a danger to re-signing players just because you think that you need some sort of veteran presence in your locker room.
I also wonder sometimes about the actual influence that those veterans have on the young players. Like, I think some young players are going to be responsible anyway. Like a Bo Horvat is, I don't think he absolutely needed the Sedins around to show him the way. I think he probably would have been a pretty responsible player anyway. I'm not saying don't have any veterans, have any role models, but I think generally do players like Hughes and Pettersson and Horvat to you, don't they seem internally driven already, whereas they're not going to need the constant reminders from the veterans?
Yeah, I mean, I think every guy is different. Like, look, there was absolute value for Quinn Hughes having Chris Tanev around last year, right? Not just
sure,
on the ice, but we know
point.
That they formed a bond off the ice as well. And so I'm with you. I'm not saying, you know, anytime a guy turns 30, you get rid of him. But you're always going to have guys that qualify as veterans in that room that younger players can go to. I don't think that you have to go out of your way to sign guys for that particular reason. The same reason, or the same sort of line of thinking that, you know, too many guys in this lineup this year and again last year were in there simply because they were penalty killers. Here's an idea. Go get a bunch of really good players that can help your hockey team and then find a couple that can kill some penalties along the way. But to have guys that are in your lineup on a nightly basis strictly as penalty killers, it makes no sense. And I think the same sort of reasoning applies there to veteran guys. Like, they've got Alex Adler. They've got Tyler Myers. They've got guys. Braden Holtby's won a Stanley Cup. You know, you're going to have guys that young players can go to and turn to. But again, I think so many of these young players now are supremely confident, and they just figure things out on their own. And so when I look at Tanner Pearson, you know, no trade protection. I think he is the Canucks' best trade chip. He's getting healthier from the ankle injury. And if you could swap him for a pick, it's not so much that you add a draft pick that you might use at the draft, but how about you take Tanner Pearson, you trade him for a draft pick, and then you use that draft pick to go and poach a player from a team with protection issues ahead of the expansion draft. You might get younger and better, because we know that teams are going to want something rather than losing a good player for nothing to Seattle. So, again, these are the types of thoughts I think that this Canucks front office has to be going through. And I get that this black cloud of COVID that has absolutely crushed the Canucks, that's first and foremost player health and safety. And that has complicated matters here ahead of Monday's trade deadline. But Jim Benning has to be able to, you know, it's a difficult job. We know that. But you've got to be able to multitask, and you've got other people in your front office that can be making those trade calls as well if you're dealing with health authorities and those types of things right here, right now. So there's still time ahead of the trade deadline. I'm not anticipating that the Canucks will be terribly busy, but I still think that Tanner Pearson, with his Stanley Cup experience, and if a good team's picking up Tanner Pearson, they're probably looking at plugging a hole a little lower in their lineup. Like, I don't think they're looking at bringing Tanner Pearson in as a difference maker and a top line guy. And so I do think that Tanner Pearson would still have some value out there on the market. I just wonder about, you know, is this game or is this season a bit of a red herring for Tanner Pearson in that he started to go into that decline that happens for a lot of players in and around his age?
I just want to add a bit of a pet peeve here. And you mentioned something about the draft pick, and even if you don't actually draft a player with it, you can use it as to get another player that's ready to play. People act like draft picks are only needed when you have to rebuild. And I feel like that line of thinking is really damaging and wrongheaded. And if you don't believe me, ask Mike Gillis. If the Canucks had drafted better when the Canucks were good, Mike Gillis might have kept his job longer. In fact, when you go, like, you can draft your cornerstone pieces, and the Canucks have done that, and they've done that well. They've drafted a number one center in Pettersson and a number one defenseman in Quinn Hughes, and also a number one goalie in Thatcher Demko. That's terrific. They also got some other players. But if they want to get good and stay good with that core, they'd better keep drafting well. So to all these people that said, well, why do they want a draft pick now? That player won't even be ready if he pans out for 3, 4, 5 years. Well, do you want the Canucks to be good and then for them to stay good? Because you have to think that way. You have to still be thinking long term. So a second or third round draft pick, is that going to help the Canucks next year or the year after that? No, but it might keep them competitive if they ever get to be competitive.
Right. I think if you can harvest assets, then it gives you flexibility. Look at the Colorado Avalanche. They paid a pair of second rounders for Devon Taves. He was a 26-year-old, sort of right in the prime of his career, and he has stepped in seamlessly and absolutely helped the Colorado Avalanche, just on an absolute heater right now. What are they? Points in 15 straight games, I think 13-0-2 in their last 15, and people around the Avs rave about this guy. And Colorado had the flexibility to acquire a player like that, and 2 second-rounders isn't an insignificant price, but they didn't have to give up a roster player. A lot of times to get a player, you know, the old adage, you got to give to get. Well, Colorado didn't want to strip from what it already had. So it had a couple of second-rounders. It was willing to move, and that's the value of having those draft picks. And if you keep them and you use them, that's great, but it also gives you the ability to go into the trade market and acquire a piece in his prime that can come in and help you. And this Colorado team with Devon Taves looks like, you know, is absolutely hell-bent on getting it right this time around, when last year they ran into some goaltending issues in the playoffs. That kind of submarined them. But that is a, you know, they built a machine there in Colorado, and they had the flexibility because they had a couple of second rounders to play with, and that allowed them to bolster their blue line. Now Taves and Girard and Byram and Makar and Ryan Graves. Like, there's a team that's going to have some, protection issues for the expansion draft, and that's where the Canucks should be looking. Not just Colorado, there are going to be other teams, but those are the types of teams the Canucks should be targeting. And if you have an asset from a Tanner Pearson deal, you know, it's just one more weapon, I suppose, that you have at your disposal.
Jeff, great stuff today, bud. Thanks a lot for doing this. We appreciate it. Enjoy whatever the next few days will bring, and we will talk again next Wednesday.
All right, guys. Thanks.
Thank you. That's Jeff Patterson here on the Halford and Brough Show on Sportsnet 650. A reminder, Halford and Brough in the Morning is brought to you by Able Auctions. If you're closing your business and you're not sure what all your assets are worth, let Able Auctions help. They've been helping BC business owners wind down and sell their business assets in an orderly manner for over 30 years. Whether a complete manufacturing plant, a restaurant, or a mechanical shop, Able Auctions has seen it and done it all. Email sales@ableauctions.ca and get your free of charge confidential consultation scheduled today. That's sales@ableauctions.ca. 8 o'clock hour, what we learned. I think you and I should do a what we learned as well. Kick it old school.
Mm-hmm.
Kick it off so that people start submitting more. What did you learn over the last 24 hours in sports? Let us know. Hashtag it WWL. Now, today we ran the gamut on conversations. We talked about Among Us. We talked about Corpse. We talked about keto, that keto life. We talked about a lot of stuff. So what we learned is they're going to be all over the place. There's a lot to get to. Yes, Dom.
I'd like to just break in with some
Sportsnet 650 breaking news.
Ooh. We did talk about this earlier, and TMZ has learned, as of this morning, law enforcement sources tell TMZ Tiger Woods was driving 83 miles per hour in a 45 mile per hour zone at the time of his crash. They say speed was the sole cause of the crash, and we're told Tiger waived his right to privacy and authorized the release of the accident report to the public.
Very well done, Dom. Thank you for that update.
134 in kilometers per hour. So yeah, he was going pretty fast.
Yeah.
That is, according to law enforcement, the sole cause of the crash, speed. He was driving pretty much double the speed limit. Obviously, there was lots of speculation about what the reason really might have been, considering Tiger has had some issues with pills.
He's had a checkered past.
Yeah. You know, I think a lot of people were wondering, how does a guy just driving down the street just go right off that highway, right?
He's going too fast.
Slow down, people.
And it's a friendly reminder. You'll be out there right now driving around in traffic this morning. It's almost 8 o'clock. So the commute is fully underway. You could be on your way to work. You could be on your way to school. Stay safe out there, folks, okay? 8 o'clock hour, what we learns. It's Halford. It's Bruff. It's Sportsnet 650.